Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo, I said hey yo. We back here for another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast series. Y'all thought I was finna battle rap Pat. I might. Right. We still might do it before this episode is over. Welcome back to another episode of Freedom Train Podcast series. I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Irvin, and we are right here getting down, staying down for the Freedom Train Podcast series right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. It's another week. It's another month. Happy June. How y'all doing on this June? You know what they say? When June first come, what happened?
People get pregnant. I don't know.
How did you know? Ding, 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 ding. How did you know? That's the national pregnant holiday. I don't know. I'm just talking bullshit. I don't know what's going down. Ha. Ha. Ha ha. That's a granddad joke. What's going on with you?
We had dad jokes 2 weeks ago, and then we got granddad jokes today.
Yeah. Gotcha. Ha. Oh. Hold on. I do got a joke. It's a nasty. It's a nasty dad joke. I said I was going to say
that. Okay.
How did the sperm get to the other side of the road?
How?
Because I put the wrong sock on.
Yeah, that's a nasty joke.
So that's not my joke. I stole that from a dude from the dad jokes thing from the All Def Digital channel. I thought it was funny. I said, I'm going to say that since I did that joke. So that's my boom. Make sure you put that boom sound in there for my nasty dad joke.
All right.
Everything good with you up there in the North Kakalaki?
Yeah, man. We getting loose. You know, the world is spinning. The people is hating. And the other people is migrating, gestation, gentrification, fornification, subjugation, alienation throughout the nation.
And constipation.
Oof.
Yeah.
Exfoliation.
Hey, man. Something else with an Asian. I don't know, man.
But we do got love for our Haitians.
Hey, and all the sensations that be making and when you baking. That shit rhymes. Hey, man, before we get too left with what we're saying, remember that Freedom Train Podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit the PAX Inc. website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about their codes of conduct, their members, how to become a member yourself, how to donate, how to get involved. How to access the Learning Center. When you access the Learning Center, just hover your mouse over a lot of resources for you. You can support them through there. Well, yes, through the Learning Center. Also, the Amazon Smile program is where you can support them. So go to AmazonSmile.com and it'll allow you to register and you get signed up and choose the nonprofit organization you want to support. Pick PAX Inc., PACTSINC. Bam. So every time you make a purchase on Amazon, all you got to do is AmazonSmile.com. Make a purchase, portion of your proceeds go to PAX Inc. That's how it happened. Ain't that right, Pat?
That's exactly how it happens.
Exactly. Hey, do we have an announcement to make about the Freedom Train and PAX Inc.?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, tell them. I'm gonna throw it at you.
So Freedom Train Network. At PAX Inc., well, PAX Inc. is more than a sponsor for the Freedom Train Network. Freedom Train Network is now the the podcast network, the vocal arm of PAX Inc. So, those of you that want to support the show now, you can support it nonprofit status by making a donation to PAX Inc. with Freedom Train Network specified as the organization or the branch of the organization that you want to donate to. And those of you that do want to donate directly to PAX Inc., that donation is now 501c3 write-offable on your
thing. Hey, man, we out here in these streets. We doing big things. We moving. We grooving. We hallelujahs, all of that stuff. So just another move that we're making for the Freedom Train Network to ensure that we have a solid foundation moving forward and we can build this media network, because you know it's media designed to free your mind. So our own media network for ourselves to make sure that we are uplifting and encouraging and empowering and equipping our people to be the best versions of themselves. Because if you ain't black, I just want to say that. I really just want to say that.
Okay, I was waiting.
Cause I love. Hey, look at this skin. I just wanna marvel in the melanin real quick. Look at this skin. Look at my skin. I ain't even put no lotion on. I'm ashy.
I was gonna say you look ashy over here.
Look at just how melanated this is, even through the ashiness. Look at how skinly this melanin is. You got to love your melanin, dog. Pat, adorn your melanin real quick, man. Even though I ain't used the word.
Yeah, I ain't even got no no shirt on. This is just how black I am.
First of all, I used the word wrong. First of all, and second of all, act like you really into this. All right.
Egyptian.
Love your blackness.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to do the Egyptian stuff. Okay. Anywho, man, let's get on with this show, because I know y'all like, man, what these boys talking about today? We got some stuff we finna lay on y'all head. So Germany said that they will pay Namibia $1.3 billion as it formally recognizes colonial era genocide. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because nobody knew y'all did it, right? Yeah, okay. And then Macron seeks forgiveness for France's role in Rwanda genocide, but stops short of apology. So if you remember, like, the genocide that happened in Rwanda, that the movie Hotel Rwanda was built around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's about. So we're going to go in on that. And France is like, yeah, we was a part of it. Hey, man, y'all trying to go out for some wings later? That's all they were talking about. So we're going to get into that. And then so there has been a spike of violent crimes throughout this COVID pandemic. And we're going to get into the numbers and get into the information about the different crimes and how crimes have spiked during COVID. But in addition to that, Texas says, hey, you know what? We're going to allow unlicensed people, unregulated stuff. Anybody who want a handgun in Texas, damn it, you can get a handgun. We don't care if you crazy or not. We don't care if you licensed or unlicensed. We don't care if you can read or not. We don't care if you got the fingers to shoot the gun or not. We don't even care if you took a beige last night. Everybody can get a gun. That's what Texas is saying.
So, pretty much. Very Texas thing to say.
Yeah. Oh, all I know is the Cowboys better win the Super Bowl. Anywho, don't hate. Don't hate. Anybody out there who watching, don't hate. All right, so these first two stories, we're going to kind of let Pat take the lead, and I'm going to take the lead on the second two. So Germany will pay Namibia $1.3 billion as it formally recognizes colonial era genocide. The hell they talking about, Pat?
So when Germany went into South Africa, not South Africa, the country, but South Africa, the region.
Right.
To colonize the region, there was a group of people, the Herero and the Nama peoples, that rose up in uprising and revolted against colonial rule while they were seizing land. And so for over a 4-year period in the early 1900s, I believe it was 1905 to 1910 or somewhere around there, 1904 to 1908, somewhere around there, they killed some 80,000 of these people. So Germany first issued an apology in 2004 for what they were doing or for what they had done, and they have been giving aid to Namibia. And now they're taking it a step further, and they're saying we're going to issue $1.3 billion in reparation and aid as further recompense for what we've done. So the interesting spin here is that the Herero victims groups have rejected the aid. They say that it's not going to the right people and it's not going to in the right direction. And they said that nobody from the victims' rights groups were invited into the negotiations. These were negotiations between the German government, largely with a little input from the Namibian government. But largely this was the Germans doing their own thing. And so they're like, nah, we not rocking with that. We don't like it. We don't want it. Y'all ain't welcome here as far as we're concerned. And this ain't nothing but a PR campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So
fake reparations. So they like, we'll pay the representatives of you to put on a good front while all in all, y'all still are not necessarily getting true reparations for what we did to y'all. But we're going to make it look good. And so 1.1 billion euros, which is 1.3 billion in US. And like you said, from 1904 to 1908, they killed a whole bunch of people. And it's like, they're like, it's kind of like what I was talking about when I recorded my fix episode, is the nature of the people that we're dealing with, right? So when you understand the nature of savage people, it's not something to get upset about. It's just like, okay, we see y'all doing this again. We see you using representatives. And so because these people are of these people, it's like they speak for them and they don't. It's kind of like, you know, the Black Caucus or something for us, right? So they speak for us, they look like us, and they say they're us, but they're not us. They're not. That's not the voice of the people. That's not the voice of the resistance. That's the voice of the representatives. That's the voice of the face. These are the voice of the people who are willing to sell out. Going back to Uncle Tom's Cabin, right? The Sambo versus the Uncle Tom. These are the Sambos, the people who are willing to side with the enemy for their own personal gain.
Right. And what's interesting is the connection that this story has with the other story that we're going to talk about, that I'm going to go ahead and segue us into, which is, this announcement came the day after French President Emmanuel Macron issued a half-step stop before an apology for France's involvement in what happened in Rwanda. And what happened in Rwanda is a lot more well-known than what happened to the Nama and Herero people. Because they made a movie about that with Don Cheadle. And so for those of you that haven't seen the movie is called Hotel Rwanda.
Right.
But it gives a pretty decent overview of what happened to cause some 800,000 people to be killed in Rwanda. And so the short version of that is, so when the European powers were in control, they were showing a lot of favor and giving a lot of authority to the Tutsi group. And the Tutsi group is a minority group. They were 15% of their nation at the time.
Where?
Was Tutsi. And they were oppressing the Hutus, which is about 85% of the nation in terms of the cultural demographics. And then when the European powers left, they left power in the hands of the Hutu, who then proceeded to enact revenge on
the Tutsi.
Everybody that wasn't Hutu, the Tutsi. And so some 800,000 people were killed. It became a huge humanitarian crisis. And for France's role in particular, not only did they support the Hutu regime as it was doing what it was doing, as it was killing all of these Tutsi people, but they continued to support the regime even afterwards, even all the way up until the present day. So first the stage was set for there to be a lot of bad blood, and then you left and allowed what happened to happen and supported it.
Right.
So it's interesting just that the day before the Germany announcement, you have the French announcement where he basically just acknowledged the role that France had.
Right.
But he didn't really apologize, and he didn't really make any claims about reparations or any sort of recompense being paid out. But he did say that forgiveness can only be given by those that suffered during the tragedy. But for the most part, it was a PR stunt. So I just thought, like, day one you had this, and then day two you had this. I was like, huh, that's interesting.
Well, behaviors, man. Behaviors. Trust people's actions, not their words. Trust what they are doing. Because he's just saying, yeah, we were there. We shot Willie. Y'all ready to go get some wings? I mean, that's what it is. It's like, yes, we played a role. We started the pot. We gave the Hutus the resources they needed to rise up, to cause that civil war between the Hutus and the Tutsis. Because look at most of the genocidal uprisings that have happened on the African continent throughout the various countries. If you dig deep enough, they're European nations or Western nations at the foundation of it, funding it somewhere, because they benefit somehow of this specific group of people being killed off, so they could benefit from usually the resources that these people most likely sit on. So this is just another chapter in the page of European nations with their hands being caught in a cookie jar, being dirty, trying to get resources. Because that's how Europe rose off the resources of Africa, the Caribbean, and the Americas. And Europe doesn't know any other way to maintain itself. Europe doesn't know any other way to exist but to continue to pillage the resources from any place that they can get it, because they don't have the resources in Europe. If they did, they wouldn't have to come to Africa like that.
Right.
So, and I mean, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I just want to draw people's attention to the fact that, you know, like, to me, not only did I think it was interesting that, you know, it was like a 1-2 punch. Europe is making amends for the catastrophes that they've caused in Africa. But also there's a growing voice, a surging voice here in America, that we need to get the European nations and the UN as a whole to pay more attention to what's happening to Black people here in America.
Well, yeah. And I mean,
Go ahead.
They won't do that because it would be an admission of guilt, and the United States is not going to admit the totality of the role that it played in the oppressing, continued oppression and the enslavement of African people in the Americas. They're not going to do that. I don't care what no other nations are doing. If the United States ain't done it yet, they're not going to do it. That's why, think about it. They were just on TV. You just had two niggas on TV talking about America isn't a racist nation. That shit ain't going to happen no time soon.
Well, I think one of the things that I want to draw you, like, to me, this is a best case scenario for what you get out of that. Realistically, you get America saying, okay, we acknowledge our slave history, which they've done before, but they still refuse to acknowledge that America is still a racist nation, and they refuse to acknowledge that there needs to be any sort of reparations, and they refuse to acknowledge that there needs to be any sort of change. And even if they do acknowledge, they don't actually do anything.
Right.
They just acknowledge.
I mean, but with, because when I first read it, it was like Germany is paying Namibia $1.3 billion. I was like, my first thought was like, okay, but United States ain't gonna pay nobody no time soon. United States, they're not gonna recognize any type of reparation anytime soon. Whatever the regime is, whatever the administration is, they're gonna suppress this stuff. They're gonna overlook it. They're gonna sidestep it. They're gonna do everything. We can't even get a law passed to protect black people the same way a law was just passed to protect Asian people. And then the issue with black people is this the main issue with America. So, I mean, I think we need to grow up.
Well, I definitely agree with that. And the Asian issue is even that's a lot deeper than what other people are giving credence to, because people are making a lot of political debates and a lot of these other debates based off what's happening in the Asian community. And there's a huge difference. One, there's a huge historical difference. And the other one is Chinese people have China backing them. Like, you know, these other people have whole countries backing them. Black people in America don't have that.
We just
in addition to the negative history.
We all we got.
Right. CMV.
So I mean, but so in both scenarios, okay, we have Germany paying money to a specific group of leaders and representatives, while France is like, yeah, we was there. So it's bluff, it's smoke and mirrors, it's more bull. Well, the thing is, these European nations, They are using the same tactics that the Democrats would use here. You appease, like I said, the representatives. You appease them. The representatives are usually have more resources. They usually have more influence, usually have more power than the general population. They're the ones who usually drive the thoughts, drive the conversations, drive the fight. Or can calm down the fight, your church leaders, your politicians, these people. So you appease these people in a way to make sure that they have a semblance of success and they have a semblance of attainment while everybody else is being fucked over. So as long as they're happy, everything else is good and you can continue business as usual. That's what that's what's going on with both these nations. And France is like, I don't have to apologize. I can recognize I don't have to apologize because, man, hey, what y'all gonna do? Yeah, y'all speak y'all are black French people. Y'all speak our language. Y'all on y'all continent and you speak our language. And you take right. our customs. You are us. What are we apologizing for? Right. And see, that's the thing. Like when I hear, I'm not against anybody moving out of America, but when I hear people talking about moving out of America to escape white supremacy, I'm like, it's a global system. Think about what I just said. People are in their own countries in their own continent, and they don't even speak their own language. This stuff is global.
Yeah, now that's absolutely another angle with this. Right. And that's absolutely another angle with this, because you do hear a lot of people talking as if they can leave white supremacy behind in America if they just go somewhere else. To me, it's always been interesting, and I'm not saying that this is the way it is. I'm not saying that this is the way it isn't. Because people do speak to feeling a sense of love or a sense of empowerment by being surrounded by their own people when they are people that look like them, because they're, you know, that's a whole nother discussion about whether or not they're your people. But people being surrounded by a bunch of people that look like them when they go to these places. And my thing has always been, if I go to another place and see a whole bunch of people that look like me, but that are colonized, I don't know that that does a lot for my mental well-being. You know what I'm saying?
But it's like willful ignorance, because the information is out there. The information is out there to understand what all of these African nations, with the exception of Ethiopia, went through. Ethiopia is the only African nation that wasn't colonized. All these African nations, every last one of them, was colonized. So you have to expect them to operate in a similar way that we do. We were colonized by, us lately. The greatest influence was England. But you know, you had the Dutch, you had the Spanish, you had the French. But the greatest influence was the English. But we could see the influence of all these other cultures when you go through America, like Minnesota area, the Viking area, you know, New Orleans, the French area, then you got all these other areas. So we can see all the mix in America, but we know the English had the greatest influence. But it's like, all right, in certain parts of Africa it was France, in certain parts it was England, certain parts it was Germany, certain parts it was Poland, certain parts it was this. So it's like we've all been colonized. We've just been colonized by different European nations, but we all still messed up. But it's black people throughout the world. If anything we learned from the work of Dr. Renoko Rashidi is being able to understand the African presence around the world, but also the plight of African people around the world. But and at the hands of either Europeans or Asians. So.
Yeah. Mic drop. Boom.
Hey, man, but we got to get our mind right about this stuff. Like, it's chess, not checkers. I keep saying we had the checkerboard playing Uno with our cards turned backwards. And we wonder why we keep losing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just like there are so many different angles and points and perspectives that we could come at from these two stories. But, you know, just like we always try to do, just put it out on the table. Give everybody a kind of like a start off point. And then hopefully the conversations are being had in a way that's beneficial for the people having them and for the larger groups that are being impacted and influenced by.
Yeah. Yeah. So while we're talking about violence on the African continent, let's switch our focus to violence here in America, and specifically violence during the COVID pandemic from I guess March of 2020 to now, where the full nation was really aware, but Pat and I were aware since January, but it's called COVID-19, so that means people knew about it in 2019. Right? So there's been a violent crime spike at an unprecedented level in 2020. So I'm going to read this. Preliminary data shows that homicides increased somewhere between 25 and nearly 40% last year, the largest year-to-year jump on record. The trend has shown no sign of reversing in the first few months of 2021. Last year was obviously disruptive in many ways. A global pandemic, an economic collapse, an increased spotlight on police conduct. The experts are divided on how exactly these factors may have contributed to the surge in homicides. That uncertainty has raised concerns that while last year was an outlier in so many ways, the increase in violent crimes has started in 2020 may not be. That started in 2020 may not be. Polls taken over the course of the past three decades show that Americans generally believe that crime is getting worse year after year, when in fact the opposite has happened, what we've been telling people for the longest. The U.S. murder rate has been cut in half since the early 1990s. Even with a historic uptick in killings, last year's murder rate was still substantially lower than any year between 1970 and 1995. Still, any increase in violent crimes is worrying. Politicians, academics, and law enforcement experts have offered a variety of solutions to ensure that 2020 was an aberration and not the start of a dangerous trend. So, what you think contributed to the uptick in violent crimes in 2020?
I think it's a couple things, if we're being honest. One of those things I think can't be overstated was 2020 was an election year, a very contentious election year that started earlier with a lot crazy of fears being preyed upon.
Crazy white people.
Yeah, yeah. but then just COVID-19, like COVID madness is a real thing. Like interpersonal skills were already at an all-time low. And people being able to control themselves emotionally and having mental and emotional stability has already been decaying. But now you add a pandemic into that, which adds a level of anxiety to the situation and a level of constant panic to the situation. And then you just add the fact that I know a lot of people came through COVID just fine, but there were a lot of people that lost their jobs. Businesses yep. closed down.
Yep.
Poverty went up. You know, people were broke. People were suffering. And it ain't nothing worse than a broke person on the edge.
Hey, when you...
And there was a lot of broke people on the edge.
When you broke, you either gonna borrow. If you can't borrow, you either gonna steal.
Yeah.
If you're not gonna steal, you're gonna beg. You're gonna do either one of them. You're either gonna borrow, beg, or steal. Poverty is real. I agree with you. I think the pandemic, with the pandemic happening and a lot of jobs being lost, that caused a lot of desperation in a lot of people.
Right. And the thing with being broke, as you know, I can definitely speak from experience on that.
But
when you broke, pride and respect are they mean a lot more. You know, somebody challenging you when you got money, you might wave it off. When you broke, my respect, bro. You're not gonna take that from me.
When you have nothing to lose, when you are in survival mode, you are willing to do damn near anything it takes for you to survive, for you to get to the next moment, for you to see the next day, for you to make it. Living is the problem is before COVID happened, we had especially a lot of our people. But these aren't violent crimes just specifically aimed toward the black community. These are violent crimes across the world.
Right.
But we know specifically in our community, we were already hurting before COVID. We were already economically depressed before COVID. COVID then didn't do nothing but heighten everything. It shined a brighter light. We talked about that on here. COVID, basically, y'all might as well call Patrick Negro Domus, because everything that's happening right now, he talked about that one episode, January 21st of 2020, when we was calling it the Wuhan virus at that time. So everything he said was going to happen. Everything we talked about is happening. People are hurting, people are dying, people are losing jobs, all that stuff. Crime crime is going to happen. Crime is the foundation of America. So if crime is the foundation of America, you got to believe all these, you're going to have more crimes happen when America is hurting. It's going to happen. Like, get once again, be get real with the world that we live in. Start being realistic about what we're going through. Stop faking. Be realistic. America is in bad shape economically. The market is doing well. The economy is doing bad. All
right? Right.
We need to understand that.
Well, that's a great point. And that's something else we've talked about on this show, but people got to understand the market used to be a good indicator of the economic health of the nation. That hasn't been the case for decades. So, so when you see all these rich people and you're listening to all of these blogs from people that want to be rich, no knock against them, but they're using the market to tell you how the economy is doing. They're wrong. That model is broken. People are out here hurting. People are out here not doing well. The rich are getting richer, and the market has largely become an indicator for how well the rich are doing.
Yep.
But we gotta, like, it's serious out here, and it's not going to get better because a lot of the black folk that got treatment, especially in the early stages of the pandemic, and obviously not just black folk, but everybody, but a lot of those people that got treatment in the early stages of the pandemic before everything was passed, they're having to deal now with a lot of medical bills, the cost of their treatment that's driving them further into poverty.
Like, there are people who make damn near six figures or are making six figures who faced economic times. I mean, economic trouble, especially when it comes to health. So even people who are making six figures or more, some of them face some bullshit. So imagine the people who not making that.
Right.
It costs to be sick. You can't be poor and sick. Not in America. You can't.
Mm-mm.
And even if you got money, being sick can change your economic status from being on the road to wealthy or rich to being middle class or lower class.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a phrase, it's a saying, it's cute, but it's true. Health is wealth. If you're not healthy, we not talking about nothing else.
That's why after this, I'm gonna go get me a salad.
Hey man, like I might go run some laps or something, or you know, cause it's like we really do take our health for granted until we don't have it. And it's a lot of people out here. Yeah, drink water, get money. Shout out to DNA. But it's a lot of people out here that's maneuvering like, well, if I get COVID, I'm gonna just get a little sick and be okay.
That might not be the case for you.
Right. You might eventually get your health back, but how much of everything else are you gonna lose while you're on the road to getting that back?
Like my homeboy told me, he said he went from 230 to like 160. From dealing with COVID. Flatline 2-3 times dealing with COVID. Healthy person though. Dealing with COVID. COVID gonna affect everybody different. But let's say you contract COVID and you don't have any symptoms, but you go around one of your grandparents or somebody elderly and you pass it on to them and they die. Let's not get too far left, because I do want to kind of bring it back to the subject at hand about the violent crimes, even though we know all the other factors that go into why people are poor and why America does what it does. Of course, we know with America, the rich feed off the poor, the rich benefit off the poor. But the violent crimes are going up because of the poverty. And so we have to really pay attention to who are the victims of these violent crimes as well? Who are the people who are suffering the most from these violent crimes? Because especially if it's, and this article doesn't really point out, but if it's Black people, then that's another thing we have to deal with in addition to dealing with poverty, COVID, racism, and all these other things here. Then we're being killed some more. So I'm just like, we gotta be able to look at all that, and we have to assess everything that we got going on.
Absolutely. And Black people do have to be. We just need to be more vigilant and more careful as well. Usually we're on the wrong end of rises in crime waves. And we just got to be more vigilant. This COVID thing presented a lot of situations. And while it's cool that everybody wants to focus on the positives, you know, all of the people that made money, all of this, all of that, all of this, all of that, we still shouldn't be blind to all of the other things that are happening out there. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, but this is an interesting thing. But I do like the way this is a Yahoo News article, by the way. But I do like the way that they broke down the information and saying, okay, that there is an uptick in violent crimes for these times. But overall, crime in America is nowhere as near as high as it used to be. Keep trying to tell people the world is a lot safer than it once was. Now, that's saying a lot. That's especially America. That's saying a lot that America now is safer, a whole lot safer. It's a hell of a lot safer now than when we were kids. But the irony is parents are more afraid to allow their kids to go outside.
Yeah, I think that's because, you know, we talked about this, but I think technology has made a lot of people paranoid.
Yep, shrunk the like, world.
Right. When we were growing up, we knew there was a chance for things to happen, but we didn't really know exactly how bad it was. Nowadays, you hear about every fucking story. Every shooting, every robbery, every fight, every time anything happens, you hear about it. And so we just thinking that the world is a dangerous place now. You know, you got people running around now talking about, you know, I got a friend that says that at night, before he goes to bed, well, associate, not a friend. At night, before he goes to bed, he makes sure that all his guns are loaded in case somebody wants to bust into his house. And I asked him, did he grow up in a house like that? And his response was, nah, but the world was safer back then. And, you know, it's kind of like, nah, bro, you grew up in the 80s and 90s.
No, it wasn't. The world was not safer.
It absolutely was not.
In the height of the crack epidemic and mass incarceration, the world was not safer back then. We were ignorant to
the mentality. Right. That was the mentality. The world is safer. No, it's not.
Because I heard early 2000s, I came across the stats. I keep almost fucking the statistics, the stats that showed that the world was safer than it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But then I thought about it. I mean, there was a time where if you was a Black woman, a group of white men could ride down the street, kill you right there and ride off and be straight. And live in that time to be out in the open and be straight. Like, those times don't exist no more. Things are a lot safer than they were. The cameras, all these things still out. It's just a whole lot safer. Crime is, like I said, crime has been cut in half than what it was years ago. It says the U.S. murder rate has been cut in half since the early 1990s.
Absolutely. The 90s was bad.
It was horrible.
I don't think a lot of us really understand just how bad the 90s were. Especially those of us that were kids during that time. Because we were so sheltered from it.
Though it says, even with the historic uptick in killings, last year's murder rate was still substantially lower than any year between 1970 and 1995. Come on, people, let's inform ourselves and stop being afraid because of narratives. How many times are we going to keep talking about in these last couple of weeks about narratives and how narratives lead people astray? So, on the heels of a historic uptick in crimes, even though we know it's not, even though the world is safer, Texas said, well, we're going to let any and everybody carry handguns. This is the Wild West, and we don't care about laws in Texas. Only barbecue and guns and cows in Texas and football. Oh, yeah. But the glue to all of it is racism. Guns, football, and barbecue. All sandwiched in racism. Mother loving hall. So Texas is poised to remove one of its last major gun restrictions after lawmakers approve allowing people to carry handguns without a license and the background check and training to go with it. Just all willy-nilly. Just all willy-nilly. Hey, Simple Simon, you too can have a gun. The Republican-dominated legislature approved the measure Monday, sending it to Governor Greg Abbott, who said he would sign it despite the objections of law enforcement groups who say it would endanger the public and police. No shit. Gun control groups also opposed the measure, noting the state's recent history of mass shootings, including those at an El Paso Walmart, a church in Sutherland Springs, and a high school outside of Houston. Texas already has some of the loosest gun laws in the country and has more than 1.6 million handgun license holders. Supporters of the bill say it would allow Texans to better defend themselves in public while abolishing unnecessary impediments to the constitutional right to bear arms. Okay. Once signed into law, Texas will join nearly two dozen other states that allow some form of unregulated carry of a handgun and by far be the most populous. The National Rifle Association was among those supporting the measure. Now, I wasn't sure exactly where they stood on this, but I was kind of, because I was talking with somebody earlier in the week, and they were saying they thought the NRA opposed this. And I was like, I don't know if the NRA was opposing this, but this is saying the NRA was among those supporting the measure, and the spokesman called it the most significant gun rights measure in state's history. A right requiring you to pay a tax or obtain a government permission slip is not a right at all. That's Jason Oman, or Weedman, or something. O-U-M-E-T, Executive Director of the NRA Institute for Legislative Action. Texas already allows rifles to be carried in public without a license. The measure sent to Abbott would allow anyone age 21 or older to carry a handgun as long as they don't have felony criminal convictions or some other legal prohibition in their background. But without the state background check, law enforcement groups worry there would be no way we weed them out in advance. The bill does include stiffer penalties for felons caught illegally carrying guns. So how do you illegally carry guns with no restrictions?
It's a good question. I guess, well, if you're a felon, you can't carry a gun.
But it's,
so that's how they're going to do that.
But it's unlicensed.
Yeah, but if you're a felon, you can't have a weapon at all, licensed or not.
Okay. But crazies can.
Crazy. So as long as you commit your felony before you get convicted of the felony, then you can have your gun.
Yeah.
Which is usually the guy kind of how it works. Some Texas bullshit. It's wild to me that anybody would even think that this is a good idea.
Yeah, it's stupid. This is stupid.
Yeah, just that. Anybody can have a gun. You get a gun. Guns for everybody. Like, what are we doing?
Being Texas. I think Texas is competing with Florida for the stupid, for the title of stupidest state in the country.
Yeah, I do think there's some sort of nasty rivalry going on. I think Texas is mad because, you know, when we was growing up, Texas had the title. But then starting with the 2000 election, Florida was like, nah, we want to be in the race. And kind of then Florida is kind of, and that's like, all right, enough's enough. We want our crown back.
Hey, Florida, like, we swag surfing in this stupid on y'all. Look, we don't even have those gun laws. We didn't even have to have those gun laws, and we still number one in stupid Texas. How you like me now? Gold teeth when the smile tried to take me out the game, but I'm still buck wild. How you love it? Hey, we riding up on Texas and our donks and our wickets and our gold teeth, listening to Trick Daddy. Take it to the high.
Right. While all they doing is sitting sideways. Y'all can have
the 8-4s and the pokers. But y'all have to give everybody the right to carry guns to try to get on our level. We just wake up.
Hey. When it's God-given, it's real. There's talent, and then there's shit you got to work for.
Practice. He's talking about practice. Practice?
Hey.
Come on, practice? Nah, man, we don't practice for this. We do this. This Florida, man. You know what Florida mean? In Spanish, Florida mean, bitch, we the dumbest.
We are chill. We man, not. Well, I ain't even in Florida no more. I'm in North Carolina, which pretend like it want to be in that competition, but I ain't quite got the balls to get there yet.
Nah, North Carolina, y'all stick to making hooch. All right.
And hoochies.
Stick to the hooch and stick to overalls and spitting tobacco. All right.
That might be South Carolina.
Either way.
It's a Carolina thing.
Which one of y'all, the Hatfields and the McCoys?
That's a good question. Oh, you know I ain't native to this shit. I'm native to Florida.
Well, you drunk enough for what?
I don't know what's going on. I will say that, though. You talk about water. I kind of do got what Charlotte is. Well, the neighborhood I'm in right now, anyway. Got some good ass worth.
So you went transforming. Your voice went transforming, so we ain't hit nothing you just said.
That's cool. The government.
So basically,
I tell you, we're gonna get a phone call after this, though.
Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Vote for Mitt. Mitt.
Texas, man, y'all step y'all game up, but calm your stupid down. It doesn't make any sense to relax your gun laws like that in the midst of what we got going on right now, people hurting, and we already see an increase in violent crimes. You're trying to make it go further. Texas, cool with the dumb shit, man. Chill out. Go have a barbecue. Get ready to celebrate Juneteenth. Football season coming up, so get ready to watch the Cowboys and the Texans and all your college football. Man, sit y'all ass down and put the guns up and stop all that crazy stuff, man. Cause you'll never be Florida. Ha ha!
Yep. Bang, bang. Don DeMarco. I'm still Robotron.
Nah. You regular trying now. You regular trying now.
I got you.
Hey, who is Don DeMarco?
It's a DJ.
Oh, it is. Cause I just, you know, they. Every time you diss somebody, they Don DeMarco, Marco, Marco.
Yeah, that's from Battle Rap. I think he's the original, like the original DJ.
Okay.
For the Smack events.
Okay.
They don't really do them no more because Don DeMarco ain't really in the he ain't really like doing battles no more, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shout out to Don DeMarco.
But I'm pretty sure Don DeMarco is yeah. He's a DJ for the early URL events.
Hey, so you know, shout out to Don DeMarco and yeah, and all the battle rappers. And yeah, and, hey man, you want to bust a freestyle real quick?
I come through the game like whoa, how I'm looking at him like whoa, no, here we go so slow, Afro Jerry Curl juice, give me my slow Joe flow, oh bars.
Hey man, when I come down like snow raining on the ground, like whoa, Everybody know that Joe come with the flow, you know. Glue stick to your souls. I say we gotta get it shining on it with my goals. Say no moles. Just say hello to the pros and my bros. Throw it like I'm Joe Montana. Matter of fact, I'm Brady, never shady, like a baby. Eating gravy, and then Mercedes, like Wavy, like Sadie, sweet Sadie.
Okay.
Hey man, mixtape coming soon. West side till I die, but I'm really from the south and the south side of Tallahassee. But I lived on the west side too. This the southwest side because it's geographically on the south side, but it's positioned more westward. But it's still south, so it's more like southwestward side of Tallahassee. Throw your hood up, how we do it. I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Irvin. And this is the Freedom Train Podcast series. And if you don't know, now you know. We getting down and we stand down and we the realest. FreedomTrainRadio.com. Holla at your homeboys. We out chill. Peace out.